Today's mailbag comes to us from Elizabeth. Dear Lisa and Organized 365 team, thank you. I, like everyone, have had an incredibly difficult year. I was part of your study group last spring. Since starting, I have had multiple job transitions and a temporary move across the country for a job. The organization your system provided during this time has kept me on track to set goals and keep moving forward even with an uncertain future. This week, I realized that I did it. I finally organized all of my household papers, and my husband is on board with your system as well. I sat down for the first time in my adult life and knew all of my papers were organized and I had no urgent tasks. I didn't know it was possible. I am trying to describe the feeling I had when I realized I was finished. It was like I had been living my adult life with a nagging feeling like there was something I was forgetting. Suddenly, I knew where everything was. The moment I realized everything was caught up and or part of the plan, I started crying. I feel so relieved and grateful. Every actionable step that has crossed my path since that moment has flowed. I feel like I have been healed from an underlying anxiety that I didn't even know existed. I can't stop talking to all my friends about your program and how impactful it has been. My husband is downstairs organizing his hot mess room on his own. So many miracles are happening because of your system.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Well, we've arrived at green. Green slash buckets are the color for repetitive tasks that happen at home, at work. They're also where we put administrative tasks, and you could use green for money if you have any financial responsibilities as well. The green slash pockets inside of your Friday workbox are not optional. I used to think that maybe the green ones were optional, and it's partly all the way back to my direct sales days and how I ran my direct sales company. So I've already talked about how I discovered pink and purple were different kinds of work. And last week we talked about blue is for you, your own personal development, growth, learning, and how when you get really good at doing both pink and purple work, you will naturally start to grow a blue team. When you do these three things, you end up with green money. You end up with money. Like it's just almost natural. Like if you have ideas that you turn into actionable projects or products that you deliver on a timely basis, and you start to build a team to do the same thing, you're going to earn money. Like you're going to earn money. Now, in direct sales, what I found was we didn't look at the money. None of us did. Even leaders did not look at the money. I remember there was a direct sales leader that's, I don't even cash the checks. They just sit over there on the nightstand because she had enough money and she just wasn't, she wasn't watching the money. Like so many people in direct sales do these businesses because we are passionate about the mission of this company. We're passionate about the product, the transformation, what happens when you use this, whatever it is. And we love it. Like it's not a job, like it's part of us. Like we become part of the culture of this company and our the other consultants are like a sorority that we're in. It's so fun. It becomes our social and our emotional and our financial all wrapped up in one. And I found that myself and most of my friends didn't look at the money. And there were two reasons we weren't looking at the money. One was because either we weren't making any, which is pretty often in direct sales. And the other reason why we weren't looking at the money is because while the money was coming in, we were spending it faster than it was coming in, and we just didn't want to look at the reality of that situation. In so many of my friends' direct sales companies, like their own personal independent relationship with these direct sales companies, while they make good money on selling the products, they turn around and they buy more samples and they buy more gifts and whatever. We end up spending more than we end up making. And you don't realize that until tax time. And for many of my friends in direct sales, they were so disorganized when it came to tax time that they would file an extension. So we were very lucky in Creative Memories that we had these tax envelopes that we could use. At the end of every month, I would do my tax envelope, and it was basically a P&L, a profit and loss statement. And I knew at the end of every month if I had made money or if I had lost money. I know that Mary Kay is really good in organization as well. I think they have something similar. And that's where the income and expense binder that we have here in Organize 365 came from. All of my friends in direct sales who did not have any kind of a financial organizer and would do an extension, and they'd find out 18 months later when they finally got their taxes done that they actually lost money. And they and their spouse would be like, how's that possible? You made $10,000. And they're like, yeah, but you spent $14,000. And because they weren't keeping track of the money weekly, monthly, quarterly, or even annually, it was often a year, 18 months, 2 years later when they realized they had lost money. And by then, you've got to save face. Like, you're in it long enough. Like, all right, now I'm not going to buy as many, whatever, stickers for the next thing as a gift so that I could become profitable. It's too late. You're behind the eight ball. So while understanding pink and purple work will grow a team and will end up getting you money, money in the door is not profit. Money in the door is not profit. Just like many people who are working from home now, and now you have to go back to the office, are realizing that, oh my gosh, the dry cleaning, the commute, the gasoline, the lunches out cost me a lot of money in my job. And part of why people are saying they want to work from home is because it saves them money. Like, it saves them money to work from home because your paycheck is not your paycheck. It's your paycheck minus whatever it costs you to do that work. And so these green slash pockets are for money. You should do them on a monthly basis. You should reconcile your profit and loss. You should turn in your expenses if you're in a corporate job and you get a reimbursement. Like, you should do the money every month. You should not wait until tax time. That is not the deadline. Monthly is how often you should do the money. But there are a lot of other administrative things inside of your business that you do that you should do on a regular basis, whether that is daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, or annually. And only you can figure out what those things are. I will say, I often counsel, after you've hired help at home, your first hire inside of your business should be a personal assistant. That's what I did in 2002 when I hired Margaret. I was like, great, she can run errands for me because I have these two little babies and I don't want to bundle them up and take them everywhere. She can do the copies and she can mail the newsletter. She can set up for my workshops. She can, you know, like anything like that, that I could easily explain, I would explain and Margaret would do it. And she was fantastic. Oh my goodness. She was so good. And likewise, the first hire I made in Organize 365, when I was pivoting away from being an in-home professional organization company into the company you see today, first true employee that I hired, Pat, executive assistant. And this time I did not hire a personal assistant and I did not hire a virtual assistant for a reason. I wanted a corporately experienced, trained executive assistant. And I'm so glad I made that investment and continue to this day. I don't even know what I'd do if Pat didn't want to do her job. I would cry. I would cry so much. Pat knows, hashtag all the things. And the reason I did that is because, you know, Pat comes with corporate Fortune 50 experience. Like, she has worked for other VPs and CEOs before, and she understands what it takes to manage that kind of an email inbox and a calendar and relate to other people through email and how to filter things in and out. She's very, very good. And back when I hired her for 5 hours a week to help me with my blog, I had no idea that we'd be where we are today and the people that she would be corresponding with in my email inbox and setting up meetings for me. But I always knew that's what I would want someday, and so that is what I hired. And so many of my administrative tasks are handled by Pat. And like Vanessa, we've hired an administrator to help Vanessa. And I see that as a great investment in leveling up your capacity to do more in your job and also freeing you up for what you're uniquely created to do if somebody else can manage your email inbox, your calendar, correspondence, things like that, run errands, do any of that for you. But no matter what, I now have Pat and I have Stephanie, who is my chief of staff. Literally, this is, okay, this is just a very bougie, fun hire. This is amazing. So I started hearing about this idea of having a chief of staff. Now, of course, I watch Madam Secretary, so I'm thinking chief of staff. Well, that's pretty cool. But many, many business owners have, in addition to an executive assistant, they have a chief of staff. And I started seriously thinking about this when Abby told us she was pregnant. And I knew that the number one thing that was going to be the most complicated with me helping Abby and being her primary help, because she is a single mom, is that how would I keep running a company if I'm helping Abby with Grayson? And so I read about this idea of a chief of staff. So a chief of staff is similar to an executive assistant, only they don't handle your email and your calendar. They basically are like a body double. So for the last, I don't know, couple of months, 3 months, Stephanie literally goes to every single meeting I have. I told you in the last podcast about our one-on-ones and our team meetings and our monthly meetings and our huddles and all that. Every time I'm in a meeting, Stephanie is also in that meeting. And then when I was on the book tour, Stephanie ran all those meetings without me. So just like on Madam Secretary, the chief of staff literally can be in a meeting in place of me and then relays the information to me. But even better than that, when she's in a meeting with me, let's say that Vanessa, Stephanie, and I are in a meeting and we have a whole conversation, we make a whole bunch of decisions. Every single thing that Stephanie can do, Stephanie does, so that there's very little that I have to do when we leave that meeting. I basically just decide and walk out. Like, I don't even have to do the work. It's fabulous. Leaving me more time to record these podcasts. I literally went 4 weeks where I had no time to record podcasts. And you guys, if I can't record the podcast, I don't know where, we're not going to have a business. Like, I have to be able to record the podcast. But the company is growing and I also need to run the meetings. I need to do these other things. So a chief of staff is a hire that we did at the beginning of the summer for the book tour and for Grayson. And I just let you know, I'm not giving it up. But even with that, even having a chief of staff who does almost every single actionable that comes out of almost every single meeting that I have, I still have administrative tasks that I have to do. So if I still have administrative tasks I have to do each week, so do you. Let's talk about what they are. The first one is email. Yes. Pat goes through all of my email for me, but also I still have to answer my own email. I still have to make decisions. So how email looks for us, if you're in all access, you can have the same exact email system I do. It's inside of Gmail. I set up what's called alternate inboxes, multiple inboxes. So email comes into my Gmail. We have folders. I don't use folders. God love you if you use folders. I don't. So email comes directly into the email inbox. I don't know, a couple hundred a day. And then on the right-hand side, you can only have five multiple inboxes. My five inboxes are things that Pat stars for me to look at, like Lisa has to look at it and make a decision. Information, this would be your Sunday basket, information that I've either already replied to or is in progress and I want to check every week, that's my Sunday basket. I have an inbox which is, a lot of you will give me great information about like research or podcast suggestions or books to read or whatever. That kind of stuff goes into a different colored slash pocket. Then we have a slash pocket for everything that we've purchased that's in route because I buy. Even before the pandemic, I didn't go in stores. So Amazon, buying all my clothes online, books, registration for courses, all of that goes into another inbox that is for like things that we've purchased but haven't received yet. And then Pat has one of the email inboxes where she puts things into her email inbox and then replies to those. You know, if you've emailed me and Pat has emailed you back, she never says, this is Lisa. It always says Pat, Lisa's executive assistant. So even with Pat doing the majority of the email, I still have to go in every day and look at all those emails that came in, and then once a week and look in all those email inbox folders. The second thing that is administrative that I do constantly is errands and orders. It's very rare that I actually physically go do errands just because I don't want to spend the time that way. I don't like getting out of my car. I never have. That's why I went to Meijer when the kids were little, because I could literally get out of my car with them, do every single thing except for dry cleaning, get back in the car and go home. Like, I don't like getting out of my car. So if there's a drive-through option, I'm definitely going to do the drive-through option. If I can order it online, I'm definitely ordering online. Greg gives me so much grief because the amount of Amazon boxes, Talbots, White House, whatever, there's so many boxes coming. I said, yeah, but Greg, I never go to a store. Like, he goes to the grocery store, brings all that home. I don't. I need crazy glue. I order it on Amazon. I need batteries. I order on, or I do a Walmart pickup, or I, because of Walmart pickup, don't have to get out of my car. If I don't have to get out of my car, that's what I do. So in the past, on Tuesday, I would do that, or the first Tuesday of the month. Now, pretty much, I have everything delivered to me. I really resisted doing Instacart because it was like a $99 a year membership. Now that I've done it, I don't go in Costco anymore. Like, whatever. I'm not going inside of stores. But I do have to order stuff. I do have to get my own hair products. I have to get my own makeup, my own clothes, all of that stuff. Greg's not going to do that. So errands and orders is a green activity. And I do that usually in my Sunday basket. And then also I'll just add things to a Walmart cart, or I'll add things into Amazon and then have them shipped whenever I get the idea. The next thing that is in your green slash pockets are checklists. Things that you have to make sure that you get done every day, every week, every month, every quarter, and every year. So anything that is repetitive of tasks, that would be a checklist, and you can have those in a different slash pocket. And then, of course, the biggest administrative time you have is your Friday workbox time. And it's not optional, people. Like, I mean, it is optional. You don't have to do it, but it'll cost you five times the amount of time. So, you know, your choice. So every Friday, I go through my workbox. I go through all of my slash pockets. And I ask myself the question, does this have to be done before next Friday? If it does, it stays on my desk. By the time I go through my Friday workbox, I look at all the slash pockets. I literally open up my calendar and then put on my calendar when I'm going to work on each of the slash pockets that need to be worked on before I put them back in my workbox. This is also when I go through all those one-on-one meeting agendas I told you about last week that I go through and I update anything that I've gotten done this week, or if my team members have typed in information in those because they're shared Google documents, then I type responses to them. So I didn't mention this last week, but one of the reasons why I think our meetings go so well, and I didn't realize this is how other people don't do it because I don't know how other people do meetings, but we have shared meeting agendas and it's the same Google Doc, like it's the same Google Doc forever. And so when you read through and we go through an agenda in a meeting and we ask questions or we're going to research something, we continue to type back and forth inside of that agenda all week long. And then weekly, we meet in person or on Zoom, depending on if they're remote or local. And we go through where we are in all these projects. But it doesn't mean we only touch base once a week. We actually update each other inside of these shared documents instead of messaging, going in their office, calling, or emailing. So if it can wait until the next meeting, as we get information, we just keep putting it in this agenda. So Friday, I check all those agendas, and then Monday afternoon, I update them all for the meetings on Tuesdays because all of our meetings are on Tuesdays. Now, you don't have to do your Friday workbox time. You may not do Friday workbox time, or you may have some modification of it, but it ends up costing you in extra messages, extra emails, extra phone calls, missed deadlines, missed communication. I forgot I had to do that project. Oh, I didn't block out time for that on my calendar next week. And so it really costs you time, but more than time, it costs you stress. Like, I leave Friday knowing I have work to do next week, but also knowing that I've communicated everything I can communicate on these agendas instead of by email or calling or stressing people out. And I've looked at how much work I have to do next week and I've blocked it out. Now, newsflash, I usually have more work than I can do. And so because of that, I usually work on Saturdays, but it's not a problem. Greg and I both know I'm doing it. I love it. I love the impact we're making. I love growing Organized 365. And so it's not a problem for me, but I don't have any of my team members working on the weekend. Like, I hire more people so they don't have to work on the weekend. But for me, there's still quite a few things that either only I could do, or I still want to be the person in charge of that. So I do usually work 6 days a week. And I work 6 days a week, but then I also will take Monday afternoon off and get my hair done. Or, you know, Abby has a lot of doctor's appointments and I'll go over and do something with Joey's apartment. So I still have the flexibility of my mom's schedule. And so it doesn't bother me that I work on Saturdays. I work 6 days a week because of those 6 days a week, I'm not working 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. every single day. I have some flexibility in my schedule. All right. So that is green. Next week, I want to talk to you about the cadence that I have for really moving from one quarter to the next, how I plan, what I do in my 13th week, how I rest, reflect, reset, and recommit before I move forward.